League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato. I hit it hard, man.
8:06 here on Sports Map Radio Network. Good Saturday morning, everyone. My name is Will Doctor, filling in for John Granato. And, of course, I'm joined by Charlie. Charlie, did you have a good week?
You know, we had a very busy week with the Insperity Championship at the Woodlands and some other things we're doing, and very exciting. Last year, the event was canceled because of COVID. We're really excited about this year's, and Mother Nature is not cooperating.
Houston weather does not like the Insperity this week.
You know, one year at the Houston Open, we started in April and finished in November. April is a time of year, spring. We need the water. We need the rain for our plants and so on and so forth. But sometimes spring rains can last way too long. And Houston this week, we're about 6 to 8 inches. So we still might get the tournament in, but it's looking a little shaky.
Yeah, they, you know, I don't think, I think it should settle down tomorrow. What are the chances that they get in 36 tomorrow?
That's probably improbable. I'm not sure they're going to make the old guys play 36 holes in one day. I think they're going to try to get the golf course, you know, where daylight savings time, they can get maybe 9 holes today and 27 tomorrow. But we'll just have to, you know, talk to the tournament chairman, Brian Noggles, and they're busy trying to get ready once the rain subsides to get the traps in order and get the course playable.
And so when I think today we'll have a couple of good guests in. We'll have Blaine McAllister, who's a 5-time PGA Tour winner.
Yes, that's exactly right. He's out there sitting in his motel. We'll talk to him about what golfers do when they can't get on the course. And then later in the show, of course, Billy's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. And then Jason Alexander, the famous Jason Alexander from the Fazio course, will talk about the Sports Authority's great event this week.
Yeah, we're going to take a break right here, but on the other side, a lot to talk about. So we'll be talking with Jason here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
Okay, it's 8:12 here on Sports Map Radio Network. Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Charlie, let's talk a little bit about the Valspar Championship this week. Interesting leaderboard. Keegan Bradley and Sam Burns tied at first at 12 under. Charlie Hoffman and Lucas Glover at 8, along with Max Homa and Charles Schwartzel, a former winner, and Zach Johnson both tied at 7. You know, the common theme at Valspar seems to be pure ball striking. Keegan is in first in ball striking this week. Charlie Hoffman, who's in third, is 5th in the category as well. Why does Copperhead put such a premium on ball striking?
Because it's a hard golf course. It's designed through the pine trees in northwest Florida, elevation. But, you know, you got to walk single file down those par fives. So if you're off just a little, you're going to make a big numbers. But the guys that get hot, they can still shoot some good numbers, like Keegan Bradley. Keegan's been playing good this year, so hopefully he can, you know, close it out. But he's got a good group behind him, so it'll be fun to watch.
So when I played Copperhead in their AJGA event in 2018, it was very tough for me because there were so many holes that you had to lay back on.
Yes.
and play a number. And at the time, I hit it nowhere. So I was hitting 3-wood to the positions where a lot of the longer hitters were hitting 5 and 6-iron to get their to get to their desired location. And that being said, the leaders of the golf tournament this week are by no means the longest hitter in the field. Why do you think it is accepting towards a shorter hitter?
Well, once again, the shorter hitters tend to be straighter, and the bombers, as you well know, and the game has changed even since you've come, you know, full circle from junior golf to playing over in Florida. The game has changed, and so there's not much finesse anymore. But the guys that are that, you know, the guy that won it twice in a row, he's an Englishman.
Paul Casey,
very good ball striker, very straight, not exceptionally long. So it's a player's course, and the snake pit, as they call it, coming, you know, down the last 3-4 holes is very demanding. Great par 3, a great par 4 on 16, dogleg right over water, short fairway. So it's a player's course. So we'll see what happens. But it's a shame what's happening here in Houston. And our good friend Blaine's going to come on here in a minute, and we're going to talk about what golfers do on rainy days. Now, you played a lot of golf. What'd you do on a rainy day?
So I'd have a very tough time once the event started to kind of tune out. But you know, I'd definitely keep the body warm with a workout or a run, and then watch a lot of golf. And you know, if it was during the year, maybe I'd have some things to do for school from during the week. But no, it's not easy when you're in the middle of a tournament. And you have to stop.
Well, our guest host today is Will Doctor, who just got out of college. 22?
Yeah, I'm 23. I graduate in 13 days and start my sports communication career.
Well, congratulations! But you went to a place where a lot of people really don't know about it. But you went there because of golf.
Yes, I went to high school at IMG Academy when I was 14, and I stayed there until I was 19. It was a good experience, a lot of coaching, but even more importantly, a lot of great competition, which made me a lot better. And then went on to play collegiately at Texas Wesleyan, and now finishing school. But right now we have Blaine McAllister, who's a 5-time PGA Tour winner, going to join us talking about the Insperity Invitational this week at the Woodlands. Blaine, thanks for joining us today.
I'm doing fine, guys. How are you guys?
Well, Blaine, we're just having a good time in studio, but you know, you're here in town to play in a Champions Tour event. You've been playing golf for so many years, and sometimes Mother Nature doesn't allow you to do that. So what's going on today? What have you heard?
Well, you know, we were scheduled to start at 7:30 this morning, and obviously we had some really bad weather last night here in the Woodlands area, late in the middle of the night. And we all received a notice around 6 this morning saying that they'll give us another update at 9, which is what we're waiting on currently for about another 40 minutes from now. But basically what it is, guys, is the golf course has gone underwater. From my understanding, the driving range is completely underwater. The 18th hole has got a lot of water, and the first hole, I mean, it kind of goes right across that driving range area, and they're all underwater. And I'm sure with the amount of water we've had, the bunkers are washed out. And, you know, it's just an unseen, you know, unfortunate situation. But, you know, Mother Nature is, you can't mess with her. I mean, I don't care who you are. I mean, it's just a tough, tough deal. And I feel for the people in Insperity, because I know this is, you know, we had a 1-year hiatus last year, and now you come up here and have this situation. But, you know, fortunately for them, we got both their pro-ams in, and had a great 2 days there with the amateurs. And you know, I know how much customer golf means with people and in the business world, and and being able to get those two pro-ams was really, really special. But, you know, we're in a holding pattern. We're basically sitting around, and there's not much you can do. I know you get pretty bored. I can tell you that. I mean, it's something you just don't like sitting around doing. I mean, you want to be doing something. Fortunately, I've got a gym here at the hotel, and I'm gonna go down there and stretch out and relax. But we'll get another update here probably around 9. From the looks of the radar, it looks like we got some pretty good rain for the next 3 hours, and then a break, and then. But I mean, I don't know how long it'll take them to get the course ready. I really don't. I mean, I do know from the standpoint of amount of water. I think, Charlie, you may remember, but I remember back in the old Houston Open days, we got a flood here that was just, like, unbelievable, and we never even played the event.
Yeah, we started in April and finished in November.
That's right. We came back in November. In fact, I do remember on the Sunday of that, we played a – they got a bunch of guys to volunteer to stick around.
Right.
Because I remember they played a three-man scramble for the fans.
How about that? Well,
and,
we know
– they.
Go ahead.
Yeah?
Go ahead.
They teamed us up with former college mates. I mean, I played with Billy Ray Brown and John Mahaffey from the University of Houston. So, I mean, they teamed us up according to where you went to university. So it was kind of a neat thing. It was like they had a hell of a turnout. So
yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Well, but, we appreciate you taking time. You know, you got to go work out and get ready because you never know what's going to happen. But hopefully you can get 9 holes in today. And then would they play 27 tomorrow?
Well, we were scheduled to play 36 today. That's what the goal was.
Okay.
We were going to get 36 in today. You know, and you know, in that situation, they would allow golf carts, but with the amount of water we've had, they'd only be on the cart fast. And that just basically doesn't do you any good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a tough situation. But right now, I know, Charlie, they're just probably trying to figure out any way they can get some golf in. I mean, I do know that. And if we got some golf in today, and it would be a bonus. But, yeah, they would play 27 tomorrow. I do know on this tour we do not go to Mondays.
Okay.
So you can definitely know that this tournament will not go to a Monday finish unless there is a situation where more than half the field got done in a round and they needed to finish that last 9 holes. But it'd have to take more than 45 players to do that.
Well, Blaine, we hope the Insperity Committee you know, can find a way to get you guys out on the course after this weather blows over. One last question for you: in your 5 wins on the PGA Tour, did you ever have an event where you had to deal with weather like this and deal with waiting it out?
Oh yeah. This is nothing new. I mean, I've one of the times I went up in New York on the Sunday final round and tee off until 2 o'clock. And I was in the last group, and the amount of rain that came through on that Sunday morning, I had guys coming up to me on Sunday in the locker room saying, congrats, we're not going to play. You know, I mean, you win a 54-hole tournament. Oh, you're the luckiest man alive. I mean, you got all kinds of guys giving that. And I'm sitting there trying to tell myself, we're going to play. We're going to play. I have to keep that in my mind because I don't want to have a thought about that. I've won the tournament. I mean, it's not over. So yeah, I've had that situation, and you have to get it out of your mind and just prepare yourself to go play. I mean, it's not over until it's over, until they hand you the check or hand you the trophy. So I'll take either one.
Yep, we all know the less thoughts, the better in golf sometimes. Blaine, thanks for joining us, and we're going to take a break right here. When we come back, we will discuss this week's Valspar Championship and a little more on the Insperity with Bill Harmon. Who will be joining us, and we'll be talking about who can possibly weather the famous final holes at Copperhead, and we will talk about that right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, inspiring business performance.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. With Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's John Granato.
8:26 here on Sports Map Radio Network. Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. I know Charlie wanted to talk a little bit about Insperity.
The greatest company in Houston, started in 1986, zero to $4 billion is a pretty good record. And it's all because they know how to grow their business. They know how to treat their customers. But more importantly, they know how to treat, you know, their employees. And their employees are the lifeblood of a great company founded by Mr. Paul Sarvadi. And I want to congratulate one of the principals of Winsperity, who's retiring this month, Jay Minks. And Jay was vice president in charge of sales and marketing. And they knew how to tell the story. They're a great HR company. They have all the benefits well, you know, organized so they can save customers money. They can the small business person can gain, you know, a great benefit from working for Inspirity for their bottom line. And so if you're running a small business, give Inspirity a call. Tell them what you need. They can tell you what they can do, and it'll be very, very successful. So Inspirity.com, and I can't tell you what a great company is. And they're sponsoring this year's event. They've grown their business through golf. So onward and upward with Inspirity.
Yeah, great partner of the show, and not only on the PGA Tour and the Champions Tour, but I also remember in junior golf they had an Inspirity Invitational the AJGA put on.
That's exactly right.
So great company, great partner of the show, and more, and for more on the Inspirity Invitational here and Ballast Bar, we welcome in Bill Harmon. Bill, how are you? How was your week?
Good morning, guys. Everything is going great. I'm sorry to hear you got bad weather in Houston, huh?
Oh, my gosh. It's a flood, Bill. We just talked to Blaine. He was sitting in his, hotel room. They got to wait for another update at 9, but it's not looking good. The golf course is pretty much underwater, so they were going to play 36 holes today, but it doesn't look like it. I mean, they can start playing until 4 o'clock. Maybe get 9 holes in, and then tomorrow's another day. But, Bill, you've been through this, you know, your life on tour with Jay Haas. And what'd you guys do during the rainout?
Well, you didn't really do much. You know, I think nowadays, Charlie, if the players were at the course, you know, they take care of the players so much better food-wise and things like that. But on a day like today, I'm sure, like Blaine said, he hasn't left his hotel room. I think probably that sounds like the big concern is, even if it did stop raining, how long would it take them to get the course playable, you know? And Jay said yesterday it rained like over 3 inches or some crazy thing. So you would know more than I, but is the course even possible to get it playable sometime today?
Well, I think the final count for yesterday in the midnight, there were well over 6 inches. So it's going to be a challenge to get any golf in today. But where there's a will, there's a way.
Will they go into Monday, Charlie? Do you know?
Well, Blaine just told us. We had Blaine on, and he says they normally don't go into Monday. The Champions Tour,
I didn't think they did.
They just play up until Sunday. Although he said if they get half the field through 18, they would let the other group play on Monday. But it's not looking good, and it's really, you know, upsetting in the fact that last year our tournament was one of the first tournaments affected by COVID, but we got both pro-ams in. The golf course was in excellent shape, and you just when you're dealing with Mother Nature, you just
yeah, you're out of your hands, boy.
Well, what do you think about Valspar?
Well, you know, Keegan Bradley has kind of been on the upswing the last couple of years. Sam Burns is a good young player, I believe, from Louisiana, actually.
Yes,
LSU.
Charlie Hoffman's kind of coming back, and Lucas Glover's coming back a little bit. So you've got an interesting leaderboard. Max Homa's won earlier this year, so you've got some good players. Zach Johnson, you know, oldie but goodie. So there's an interesting leaderboard, I'd say. It's a type of course that even though those two have a four-shot lead, I don't think that means a lot at this very moment, because it's a pretty tough course. So the tournament probably would be determined by how one of those two guys play today, or if not both of them. If they both play good today, they could separate themselves.
Bill, our guest host today, John, is out on vacation. His name is Will Doctor, believe it or not. He went to high school on a scholarship in Tampa, IMG. He is graduate in 13 days. He's going into sports communications.
Sports communications and media.
So here's your chance to ask the famous Bill Harmon a couple questions.
Yeah, Bill, I had a couple of questions for you about Copperhead and the Snake Pit. Some similar ones that I asked Charlie. But what do you think about the leaderboard consisting of maybe some shorter hitters, where most courses on tour aren't favoring the shorter hitters anymore?
Well, it's a tough course, and you have to drive it good. So anytime you have to drive it good, that brings the medium-length hitter back into the ball game a little bit. So it's not a blast-away course. Now, length is always an advantage, as you know, Will, if you've played. But I don't think the course there is the type that guys just get up and freewheel it and don't care where it goes because they know they're going to hit a wedge on the green out of the rough. So I think that's why the leaderboard, to me, has a bunch of interesting players in it. You have players from all kinds of distances, and that's why Zach Johnson stood out to me. Schwartzel played good last week with he's at 7-under with Oosthuizen in that playoff. And Charlie Hoffman wouldn't be considered a long hitter, but as Charlie Epps knows, what isn't a long hitter on tour would be certainly long if we played with them. So most of them can still hit at 300 yards, maybe not Zach, but anytime I think the course is tight, there's a premium on hitting the ball straight, then that brings in a different element of players, and the Zach Johnsons and guys like that are still pretty proficient. So it's an interesting course, interesting leaderboard for a tournament that doesn't have a lot of star power. But today should be interesting. I think today really would be kind of a moving day for a lot of players.
Well, Bill, let's switch it back over to the Insperity before we let you go. I wanted to ask you, I assume that you have a lot of memories at Insperity with Jay over the years, and I was wondering if there's a particular moment that stands out most to you.
Two moments, caddying in the Houston Open, I think it was 1980. It was at the Woodlands, but at another course. And going to the last round, back then, Charlie knows, they didn't parry off the leaderboard 1-2-3. It was 1-3-5 and 2-4-6. And Curtis Strange had a 6-shot lead over Trevino. And Jay and Bill Rogers were playing with Trevino in the second to last group. And Trevino came on the first tee, and he kind of treated Jay and Bill like they were standard bearers. And he said, this kid Curtis Strange has only won one tournament, and I go out and birdie 3 or 4 holes early. We'll find with this guy what he's got. And he's just verbally telling this to Jay and Bill Rogers, like, you're not even in the tournament. And I'll be damned if he didn't do it. He went out and birdied those holes, and he tied Curtis. He lost in the playoff, but he did exactly what he said he would do. And another year, my brother Dick qualified to play in the Houston Open, and I was caddying for Jay, and Jay missed the cut, and Dick made the cut.
I remember
and I
that.
Caddied for Dick on, and I caddied for Dick on the weekend. So those are two memories that come to mind right away, but Trevino was very intimidating, and then he went ahead and backed it up, and he caught Curtis, but Curtis ended up beating him in a playoff.
Were the stories about Trevino being the most fearless golfer of all time true?
Yeah, he was very intimidating. Charlie will tell you this, and I don't mean this in a bad way, because Lee was a good guy, gregarious guy, but he had a very, very tough side to him that didn't show it to the public a lot, but if you were around him, he was really a tough, tough guy, boy. And he was very confident. I think he had a real chip on his shoulder when he played, and he used it to his advantage. He was as tough as they got in the hunt, but if things weren't going good, I don't think he was as tough as some of the other great players, let's say Nicklaus or Watson or Tiger. I think he could dog it a little bit when things are going bad.
Bill, we're going to let you go here, and thanks for joining us. We're going to take a break
Thanks, Bill.
And on the other side, we'll have Jason Alexander with us, the head golf professional out of Carlton Woods. We'll be right back here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance.
Listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
Hey, 40 here on Sports Map Radio Network. Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. And speaking of which, we have the Champions Tour in town this weekend, as we've been talking about, for the Insperity Invitational. And we have Jason Alexander with us, calling into studio today. He was going to be here with us, but because of the treacherous weather in Houston, he's calling in. And Jason has done an incredible job, not only at Carlton Woods, but in helping grow the game of golf. I remember in 2013, when I was playing AJGAs, I remember hearing Jason's name. When he was named the AJGA Golf Professional of the Year. He's done incredible work with all ages. Jason, how have you been able to impact the game for players of all ages?
Well, I tell you what, well, good to be on the show. I'm trying not to float away out here, but you bring up the AJGA, one of the premier events on the schedule for junior golf. And heck, we've got to host it, 11 years at the Club of Carlton Woods Fazio. And, boy, seeing all you studs come through there every year and go on to bigger and better, awfully big deal for me to be just a small part of it, for sure.
So, Jason, how are they dealing with some of this bad weather out at Carlton Woods? What's the history of the Fazio course and how it's drained over the years when you get storms like this?
It drains just as good as anywhere else in Houston, I guarantee you that. But this much rain, we're underwater, doors are closed. And good to hang out on the golf hour with the golf doctor and you. But yeah, we closed the doors for yesterday and today, and get the staff put the feet up just a little bit.
Well, you know, you had a great thing happen this week. You were the host for the Sports Authority's annual Hall of Fame Awards for all of the great Houstonians that have made, you know, put into the Houston Hall of Fame. You know, we started with Earl Campbell and Nolan Ryan, and this week you had a couple big stars up there. Talk about, and you were the MC, so to talk a little about that day and that evening.
Mr. Epps, I was in fantasy camp all day, I can guarantee you that. And, you know, we had the inaugural Brothers in Arms Celebrity Golf Classic, their first run at that. Being able to host that, what a special deal. But, you know, we got Vince Young, Andre Ware, Warren Moon as the front men for that event. And you couldn't ask for three bigger stars and legends than those three gentlemen. Hey, we got Charlie Epps on property, Jeff Bagwell. The list goes on. And then rolling that baby into the sports awards, they inducted Bagwell, Biggio, Andre Johnson, Guy Lewis, Bill Yeoman from the past U of H. And then for Jim Nance, I tell you what, you talk about a euphoric moment. Having Jim Nance on the range at Fazio, full moon, the breeze blowing. It was a full circle deal for me, and just couldn't have been more proud to be just a small part of it.
Well, that was a big step for you in your career, and Houston Sports Authority started this in Houston a few years back, and it's a great recognition of all of our champions and all of our Hall of Famers. But what did you learn from Craig Biggio and Jeff Bagwell, who were, you know, they're baseball Hall of Famers?
Well, I've watched you guys, and I'm a fan first, and just like all of us are. And we've watched these guys growing up. They were my idols playing baseball. I had their baseball cards. I played second base. I wanted to be Craig Biggio. And then to meet him, to have him up on our stage at our golf course, you know, with the Carlton Woods family all there. It's just a pinching moment, Charlie F. It was a pinching moment, and, you know, those guys show what hard work, determination, all the stuff you want to put in to being a legend, to being an icon, which I kind of mentioned in the opening speech. I mean, they're icons in the city of Houston, always will be. And just to kind of see them in person and watch them talk, can't beat that.
Well, Jason, speaking of learning from the greats, actually, before the show, I watched the pro show that you did with Stan Verrett and talking to Andre Ware. What are the things that you've learned from a great champion like him?
Well, doing that pro show, so much fun. You know, we have a big time with it, and I always loved it. I like going down memory lane with some of these athletes, and, you know, for our members that watch that, you know, we watched Moon, Andre Ware at U of H, Vince Young, Rose Bowl, 4th and 5, and to try to get them to describe some of those moments and get a little insight into what they were thinking. I mean, the Rocket in 2005 in the 18-inning game at Minute Maid against the Braves. It's just fun. It's fun to interview them, but I just enjoy listening to them talk and tell these old stories. And it's all stuff – you're a little young, Will, but it's all stuff that Mr. Epps and I went through and watched here in Houston sports, some of the greatest moments.
Well, you know, watching you interview Vince Young, I didn't know you were so short.
Hey, can I tell you something? My father-in-law told me the same thing. He said, Vince is tall. I said, easy, okay? I'm kind of tall, right? No, Vince is a big boy. And what, you know, I haven't had a chance. I've been around a few of these guys. I know Mr. Epps has as well. But Vince is one of the guys I hadn't been around ever. And to spend the day with him and watch him play a little bit, do the pro show, and then have him come to the Sports Awards. First class, obviously just a college football legend, and had one probably maybe the greatest moment in all of college football history.
Well, if you call me Mr. Epps one more time, I'm going to hang up on you.
I respect my elders. You know that.
Jason, so you've been, you said, you've have you been at Carlton Woods before 2013? Because I know that was the year you won Head Professional of the Year.
Well, I'm telling you, I've been around there too long. It's just the best place on earth for me. I've got a love affair with Fosgate. I started in 2005. I just had my 17th anniversary there. Can you believe that?
17.
That's a great run. What are some of your favorite moments from the Insperity Invitational over the years? You've had to have so many legends come through there.
Are you talking about for AJGA or
both champions and maybe AJGA?
Yes. And having one of the neatest moments of my whole golf career. Peter Costas came out to do, we had the Legends of Golf, usually Corona's got us the last couple of years, but having Mr. Nicholas Trevino, obviously Palmer before he passed, we had all these gentlemen there, Tom Kite, Hill, Irwin. And so Costas is running late, and Brian Noggle looks at me and goes, you got to do the intros. And I said, holy, huh.
What a moment.
And so to do that off of the whim, and that was probably one of the coolest deals, and to pull that off and to introduce these guys that, true legends of the game of golf ever. I mean, that's a pinching moment. It was wonderful.
You know, one of the things, you know, and the Spirit has done so much for our city, but to bring the greats of golf back to Houston on Saturday afternoon, Palmer, Player, Nicklaus, there wasn't any greater moments for the Houston golfing public. And, you know, we'd have 25,000 people out there watching the legends. And it just shows you that the golf is a game, you know, for everybody's age, from junior to Will now is starting his career in radio, and he came up through junior golf. And but when you were around a guy like Nicklaus or Palmer, do you remember anything that did you get any gems from them about the game of golf?
Well, Mr. Nicklaus did a little spot for the pro show with me, but I just love listening to their stories, going to the Insperity dinner, and listening to the stories they've told from yesteryear. And we all remember Mr. Palmer cashing that 20-footer on number 18 at TPC in his last year with those guys. What a moment. And it's funny how those legends, even that driver he ran up his last year at Bay Hill, Mr. Epps, you remember that. I mean, the ones have they just have a knack for performing on their way out in these big moments. They leave us with even more memories.
Well, the other legend that you really honored this week at the Sports Authority's dinner, and, you know, he's a true Cougar. He was on the team with Fred Couples and Blaine McAllister, the great voice of CBS golf, the great voice of NCAA basketball, Jim Nance. Now, are you going to try to start changing your voice a little to match him so you can follow in his footsteps?
If I could, I would. But those shoes are extremely too big for me to ever feel. I guarantee that. But I will tell you a quick backstory. I talked to Paul Marchand before I hosted and was trying to just get some insight into my opening monologue. And obviously we all know, you know, Paul so well. And, but he's been kind of my mentor through the years. But listen to these stories and Tom Hall and how he and Freddie and Nance would introduce the basketball team and how big of a star he was on campus. And all he ever wanted to do was commentate for CBS Sports. And all Freddie wanted to do was win the Masters. And for that thing to come full circle in 92, all these little backstories. And that's why the game of golf is so great. You have all these little backstories, and they come to fruition, and it's just magical.
Jason, we're going to have to hear a pro show episode with Jim and Freddie together to hear some old school Houston Cougar golf stories.
Well, if you can make that happen, I've got a cameraman and a microphone. I'm in.
Yeah, you're not afraid of that microphone, and you're doing a great job. And we're gonna go on a break. How much?
Yeah, we're gonna go on a break here in about a minute and make some picks for Valspar and maybe Insperity after.
Okay,
after
we're gonna you gotta know that because if you ask him a question, he'll go for 2 minutes.
Jason,
hey, Brooke, well, if we got a minute, hey, who's our pick for the PGA coming up in a few weeks? Who's our pick? Okay.
Well, we'll talk about that after the break.
Yeah,
go ahead.
We'll talk about that after the break. Jason, why don't you stick around after the break, and we'll bring you right back here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance, and we'll be right back with you here on Sports Map Radio Network.
Listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
Hey, 54 here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. And Jason Alexander is sticking with us for the rest of the show. Jason, Charlie was just showing me a leaderboard. His grandson's in an AJGA right or a LGT right now, and is 2 under through three, has the lead right now.
Yeah, and Jason, he won his first AJGA tournament last week at Bentwater, so we might have another good Charlie on the land.
It's always good to have anybody with a bloodline from the Epps clan on a leaderboard. It's good for the game of golf. We all know that.
So, Jason, let's talk about the PGA Championship here in a few weeks at Kiawah. You know, it's been now a long time since Rory last won a major. I think he finds his groove at Kiawah. My other pick would be Tony Finau. What do you think about it?
Well, you know,
I've got a couple dark horses here. So I really like Will Zalatoris coming off kind of his fame, his big spot at the Masters. I think he gained a lot of confidence to watch him play all 4 years at the AJJ event that you played in, Will. He's got a lot of moxie. He reminded me a lot of Jordan Spieth when Spieth came through there. Look out for Will Zalatoris, and the comeback that's going to be make headlines here at Kiawah is Ricky Fowler back in the mix. Ricky Fowler back in the mix in a major.
Okay. I think their careers are over. One of the things that happens today, how much money has Ricky Fowler made?
Way too much.
Well, on social media or on the course?
Both.
Oh, yeah, too much.
You know, although he got a special invitation to the PGA Championship, because now they're going to start paying the stars more money if they're more liked on the PGA Tour. I'm not sure I like that. That goal that the PGA is trying to give to their top athletes. What do you think, Jason?
I don't think I'm a huge fan of it either. I mean, that's why they have endorsements. It's kind of a different, they're over there in a different bucket, I would think. That's why you get endorsement deals. And I don't think you should skew those lines with the tour. I agree with you, Mr. Epson. I tell you this, after Ricky missed the Masters, my only little hunch, when he didn't get to play Augusta, if that's got not going to light a fire in his butt, then he's done. I agree. We're going to find out quick.
I think he's sitting on the beach selling Corona. That's more important.
Yeah, he was still making money Masters Week. I saw him in every advertisement on CBS.
Charlie Epps, who's your pick? Who do you like leading into the major here?
you know, it's going to be somebody that can hit the ball straight, because this golf course is one of the hardest ever, especially in windy conditions. And you know, I'm not sure if a Bryson can do it. I think somebody that's got more control over the golf ball. Paul Casey, for example, I don't know why that name. I've always liked Paul, and he's a good ball striker. But they're going to have to hit the ball solid every time so the wind doesn't bother that golf ball. But, you know, I'm 76 years old, and I've yet to pick a winner in a golf tournament.
I like Paul Casey, too. And, you know, he was one of my picks this week for Valspar. He's now sitting 12 back, but he was the back-to-back champion in 2018-2019 before Valspar got canceled. Due to COVID, but I think Paul's due for a major. I really see it in his career future. I think he's been waiting a long time, a really patient player.
Yeah, yeah.
I tell you, Will, it's not going to surprise anybody if he wins one. There's no doubt about that. And just, I wouldn't sleep on Patrick Reed either. I'm telling you, his golf swing is rounding into form. He won at Torrey earlier this year, and I'm telling you, he's one of the hardest workers in the game. But look out for Patrick this summer at the PGA and definitely at Torrey in June.
I was shocked to see him miss the cut at Valspar this week, but I've been really enjoying watching his game this year, and I know he's put in a lot of great work with David Ledbetter.
You know, the last time we had Jason on, we had Billy on, and Jason, you know, was selling how much he loved Patrick Reed. And what did Billy say?
Well, we had a very colorful conversation, I'll put it. I enjoyed talking to Mr. Harmon about old P. Reed.
Hey, the game needs a villain. The game always needs a villain, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He likes playing the part, Will. I tell you what, he enjoys playing the part, but you get him away from that and away from the spotlight. He really is a really good guy. He does a lot for the juniors. And I tell you what, as a quick backstory, we had AJGA this past year. He had 30 juniors in the locker room, and he went hole by hole with them explaining how to play the golf course.
Well, we
Jason, we appreciate you joining us today. And hey, thanks for joining us today. Best of luck to all your picks this week. And we look forward to discussing the Wells Fargo Championship with you next week on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Have a great one.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.